There's no time to waste, but fortunately, this won't take long. When we left off, Elliot had gone crackers by putting his complete and overzealous faith into his service for the Metatron.
And eventually you get onto 180 and you start driving.
Yeah, and he'd be probably pretty calm about this this situation right now, too, because, like, under the conditions of what's going on, he 100% is in the right in this.
Elliot pulled his wife, Nora, out of the hospital and stalked Dr. Greenbank and Hamlet as they inevitably made their way back to Greenbank's house.
When I reach in to get my wallet, I actually pull out the gun.
Okay.
You should just come in here. We'll have a little chat.
She is terrified and shaking, and she goes into the room with you, and you close the door behind you.
Well, the plans have changed a little bit. All right, come on, Nora. We gotta go somewhere.
Do these tracks look like the ones that were at the Four Seasons?
They do.
Nope. Fuck out of there. Absolutely not. Nope. Turn around, kid. We're getting back in the car.
And you hear this loud, otherworldly screech come, and it echoes from inside of the building, and you grab on the Hamlet and you pick up the pace to the car, and you don't even turn around to look and see if it's coming, and you get inside of your vehicle and turn it on. Where are you going?
There. Back to the house, I guess. There's nowhere else for it to go.
So, Elliot, as you are pulling into the university, you would see Dr. Greenbank's car leave, and it would stop at the stop sign, and then it would turn down Shore Drive towards Dr. Greenbank's home.
I'm gonna follow, but with some distance.
United once again, and they soon learned the Metatron had quite the unpleasant proposal for them.
We need to perform the ritual, and where you're going, well, it isn't a place that I can go, so it's going to require a little better catalyst than sleeping. I'm gonna need for four of you to get into the cardinal directions on this here symbol I drew. And I'll need you to drown yourselves.
Continuing our tale of the devil's antlers.
I'm thinking you probably have a few questions before we get started.
You told us that where we need to go is connected to the astral plane, right?
That is correct.
Would it be possible for us to get there through dreams?
The only trouble with going that way is I can't just perform a miracle to make you come back when the Wendigos disappear.
Would it be up to us to find our way back?
That would be correct.
If we go through with the ritual and full-on drown ourselves, is there a risk of us physically dying?
You have to remember that time does not flow the same way there as it does here. So long as you complete your task.
Well, of course we wouldn't die. We have the voice of God here with us. We have his power. If we need to come back, we could come back.
Elliot, I appreciate your fervor and your zealousness. You are a valuable asset, and Jesus loves you. But, ma'am, as I was saying, you will have 600 minutes. They will be equal to one here. All right?
So, we're going there for 8 hours, and what exactly are we doing?
You have to kill the souls of the Wendigos that are here.
So if we're right, and those two women and that infant are Wendigos, we're gonna have to kill them.
You understand the nature of your task. Now, it's important to remember, while you can summon things to yourself in the astral plane, you must destroy their souls with your hands, because anything that you summon will be of that plane and incapable of doing the job. Are we clear?
And after we destroy them, what happens to their souls? They're just destroyed, or do they move on?
You have to think about the rest of the souls that they're going to take if we don't do this.
She nods.
Before we do this, can I ask you, has this happened before?
Not since I've been alive, but yes, there have been folk who have, opened the doorway, so to speak. And when they release something they do not understand, bad things happen. A very good example, one that I'm mildly familiar with through a vision that a mentor has shared with me, is Pompeii.
AD 79 Pompeii?
You would be correct.
What was set free?
That is the question. All we know is that there is and was radiation around that mountain. And I think we know what radiation means now, don't we?
Yes, we do. We certainly do.
Two things I need you to do when you make it back, because I will not be here when you awaken. First, tell the government the truth. Second, do not forget that radiation mechanism that the nuns brought, and they set down by the doorway, and he'll point over to it, that handheld radiation wand that the nuns had brought originally.
Should we take it with us? Can we?
Not on this journey. I'm saying when you come back. Two things. Honesty with the government. Grab that piece of technology. Are we clear?
Yes.
Ronnie, he will turn to you specifically, and he will look into your eyes, and he will say, I know you don't trust me. And that's okay. But you will be tested more than any the rest of these folk. But if you succeed, you will be the one to save us all.
Sure. I don't know what any of that means.
You will.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a very cryptic guy.
When the Metatron says that, Elliot cuts like a sort of jealous glance at Ronnie.
What'll it be, Dr. Greenbank?
I would rather not chance us being able to find our way back. I think the best we can do is assure a return by committing to the ritual.
Dart, you've been awfully quiet.
Me? Well, I just think that everything's topsy-turvy. But everything out there is going to hell just as much, so I don't really see it as I've got much of a choice.
Well, you do if you so choose. I know. And he'll lean in very close and he'll whisper this to you. Nora will take your place. You need only ask.
I lower my voice as I turn to him. I'll say back to him. Look, when wartime was on, my mom's the only reason that me and my dad got through that shit. If she goes and something happens to Elliot and her, that kid right there's got nothing. So I hate to do it, but I'll fucking do it.
He'll lean in again and he'll whisper in your ear, you'll find the nun's souls where you're going. And that should give you just a small amount of relief. And he backs away.
Well, no time like the present then, eh, gang?
Oh. No, thank you. I never drown myself before 6 p.m.
As soon as he says that, Elliot goes full in.
Hey, hold on. You have to wait until there is four to begin the ritual. Just hold on. Discuss it with your friends. Figure out what you need to do.
Water's a little bit cold.
Eager beaver.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else to do.
I'll find something to do. I'm easily entertained.
Ronnie, there has to be four of us.
Huh? Sure. You, Elliot, Dot, and the kid.
My son is not going to go. But I will if it's necessary.
She's volunteering.
Nora, if something happens to both of you, no.
Ronnie's going to make a promise right now that when we fix this, if we don't come back, he is going to find a home for Hamlet. Right, Ronnie?
Sure, I'll take care of the kid. I'm great with kids.
That may well be the case, but you've got to understand. My wife, my son, they're at a deficit physically. Ronnie, you're perfectly well. You can do this.
You have to remember, Elliot, things will not be the same for her body that it is over there.
Ronnie, please. You followed us this far.
That's not even a good comparison.
Well, it's the only one I've got.
I agree. Despite what the Metatron has said, I stand by what I said. They are not capable. You are. Come with us, Ronnie.
I just need to take a second to think about this and maybe have a quick smoke, and then I'll get back to you on that.
I'm gonna slowly pull my gun out and point it at Ronnie.
Oh shit, okay.
Dark.
Ronnie, we don't got a lot of time here.
Vandemeek!
And I'm with you, everything sucks. I don't want to do this shit. Pardon my language, Miss Nora. But I don't want to do this any more than you do. But sometimes... Oh, what was that thing Churchill always said? The brave men gotta step up and take care of what's wrong in the world. I think it was something like that. It's time to be a brave man there, Ronnie. Or we get really drunk before we, you know, really start drinking like a fish, eh? And then with my other hand, I pull a flask out of my jacket pocket and offer it to him.
No. No, you wouldn't shoot your old pal Edgar. You don't have it in you to do that.
Ronnie, he has shot you in multiple scenarios that I have seen. You should definitely back down here, unless you want to be limping for the rest of your life.
Yeah, Elliot is giving Jim Halpert glances to everyone in the room right now.
Pandemic.
Please don't shoot him, Dart.
I'll lower the gun. But not the flask.
I'll walk forward and take the flask. I listen, Vandemeek. You and I have known each other for quite a while. You're one of the only people that calls me by my true name. And with everything we've been through this last couple of days, people come into my house, and I swore I would be a brave man today. And I don't really believe any of this, but I don't want to keep running. You know? Let's say this fella's not off his rocker. I mean, what he says is on the level. Well, then somebody's got to do something about it, right? I'm not crazy. I'm making sense, right? This is what we gotta do. I'm gonna be a brave man today. We all are. Right? I'll take a swig.
That flask is containing the last remnants I have of French absinthe that I bought with my remaining like $20 allocated me at the beginning. Yeah, it's strong.
That's not gin.
No.
Here's the brave men.
I take the flask and give it a sip and... Look, Edgar, thing is, I'm not saying that what this guy has told us makes sense, but the past week or so, there's been a whole lot of not making sense, and we got a chance to maybe set this world straight, and I think we got to take it.
Well, if I die...
Then I'll cheers you in the afterlife, bud.
I'll go take my place in front of the basin.
I'll finish off the rest of this flask and stand near another.
Now wait for my signal. You'll know when the time is right. And I apologize in advance for the mess, Dr. Greenbank.
Mr. Metatron, I have one question. What day is today?
January the 10th?
10 years ago today was when I got Alfred's death notice. Seems fitting.
Ma'am, I do not think you understand the debt that this world owes you. Please take your place.
She will.
The Metatron starts chanting in this deep voice in a language that you don't understand, and he removes this knife and he slowly just drags it down the center of his right forearm, down to the stump, and it begins to go around all of you in a circle, and he's spraying this blood around, and you can feel it's hot as it touches your skin, and he's continuing to chant, and he's continuing to go around the circle, and then all of a sudden, everything in the center just seems to ignite in just a myriad of colors, and it's more intense than anything you've ever seen. Instinctively, all of you shield your faces inside of these buckets, and you hold your heads in there, and after a while, you begin to want to pull your head back out, and even though you fight and try and actually do that, you cannot at this point. You are stuck inside of this bucket. It is as though there is some sort of ice cap that formed around your neck and is now holding you inside of it, and you begin to breathe in this water, and at first you panic, but then it becomes peaceful. And then it gets cold. Very, very cold. And Dr. Greenbank, you emerge from water and you look up at the hand that is grasping you, and it is the 35-year-old face of Alfred. He's mustachioed and he grabs you and he says, "You need to get on the sled, okay? Just remember, okay? I'm Virgil in this situation. I'm Virgil de Iordante. Get on the sled, okay? I'm gonna get your friends. You get on the sled," and he'll point over towards this dog sled. There is a team of huskies on a couple of different sleds there, and you look down at your feet and you realize that there are snowshoes on your feet, and you start to run across the snow, and you hop onto the sled, and you immediately just mush these dogs on, and they instinctively know where to go. And next, Ronnie, you emerge from the cold, and you look up at this middle-aged man who pulls you out of the water, and he says, "You need to get to the sled dogs now." And then after that, Elliot and Dart, you get pulled up each together. And he says, "Come with me, come with me. You gotta go, we gotta go." And you get onto these sled dogs and you just start mushing through the forest, and you're looking around and you can see that this is just this intensely thick coniferous forest with just this one trail, and you can hear things are running alongside of you, and you're making your way, and eventually you can see that this cabin is in the distance, and there is this circle that is etched in like this red paint, and it's like this 100-foot diameter around this cabin. And when you get in closer, you cross this threshold, and you can immediately see that there are things that are roaming around the circumference of this, and Alfred goes immediately to getting all of the dogs unhitched and getting everything unloaded, and he makes contact with you for just a brief second, Dorothy, before he immediately looks back down at the snow and goes back to his work.
She'll say, "First of all, why are you here?"
"Well, you know how I wasn't so much a believer, and then I spent a long time sort of roaming the snow and avoiding these things, and then I just got this feeling that I should wait by the lake. So I did, and I got a feeling that I would need to help some folk I cared about make an escape, so I gathered up what I could to try and make it happen, and,
You've been here this whole time?
Yeah. Yep.
Freddy. I'll find you again, but we have to finish this.
I know. We're gonna, Well, we should talk to all your friends before we go into this too much.
I'll get him.
You know I love you, right?
I love you too, Freddy. More than anything. Boys, get over here.
So, GM, would I be able to take another sanity check to see if I gather my wits in this situation?
Yeah, because you 100% should know who Alfred is.
Okay, so still not going to roll under a 5. So,
all right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you don't remember who Alfred is.
Yep.
About time you show up. Who's the geezer?
This is my husband.
Oh. Mr. Greenbank. Pleasure.
Also doctor.
Yes, nice to meet you, Dr. Greenbank. Also Dr. Greenbank. Dorothy. We have to find the nuns.
Alfred has something he wants to tell us first.
Of course, doctor. Go on.
You're gonna need to make your way towards a pond, sort of towards the northeast, that direction. I mean, I kind of count that he points up at, like, this ball of light in the sky. It doesn't look like the sun. It's just kind of this dim light that seems to shine, and he says, I've always kind of considered that north just to kind of make things easy. Doesn't really go nowhere, so it's kind of a good marker. But y'all are, you're gonna have to find your way to Ithaquis Lair. I'm supposed to lead you, I think.
What kind of lair was that?
Ithaqua is the queen of the Wendigos. See, there's a problem back on Earth because someone apparently freed her skull. Now, well, folk can not just get trapped here, but they can switch places, so to speak.
Switch places in this in-between realm.
Between our world and this one. But there's also a second way that you can get here. Sometimes folk, they commit crimes so bad against, you know, God or nature, or whatever you want to call it, they just immediately end up here. There's a shell left where we come from.
You know he's from Wisconsin because he talks very slow. So let's get a move on. I didn't drown in vain.
Yes, let's go.
You said you needed to see some nuns?
Yes, we're in pursuit of two.
Well, we'll take a quick pit stop then. And, he'll go about doing some chores for a little while, and he says, we're going to need a little bit of time before we can get going. I'm going to need to, you know, place bait at different points around the circle to give us a bit of a lead. And he'll immediately go and start leading out various, like, livestock. to different corners of the circle and then tying them to trees.
I came here to do action, not play farm.
He's giving us time to get away from here.
Mm-hmm.
My husband isn't an idiot. He knows what he's doing. He's been here for 10 years, which I just now found out. So.
But the time doesn't equal the same. At least from the information we've been given. For all we know, the 10 years could have been only several months.
He did mention he wasn't particularly religious. I know he wasn't. So, but he couldn't have come straight here then.
I don't know what it is. I actually have my doubts whether it's actually him, or rather a construction of him. All I know is we were given a task, and to do that task is tantamount in my surmisation of what's going on.
While they're talking, Dart wanted to go tag along with Alfred and talk with him a little bit, actually.
Okay.
He follows along probably a little bit, like, awkwardly, kind of just watching Alfred work for maybe a minute or two, and then... Dr. Greenbank, I know we were told that we got 600 minutes while we're here. Do you have a way of keeping track of time?
Well, not really. I've tried to make a few hourglasses from time to time, but it's, tricky, to say the least.
So being told 600 minutes don't really mean much, huh?
I'm assuming whoever told you you were coming here probably has never been here.
Well, if he's to be believed, we were told by the voice of God. And, he did say that he wasn't allowed to visit this place. So, not great circumstances.
If there's one thing that I've learned since I've been here, is that there is no God. That's for sure. There are conquerors, you know. Beings that have laid claim to lesser folk, sort of us, I guess. But believe you me, Dart, there is no God.
At this point, I honestly don't know if that's a comfort or a cause for worry. I just know that we got a mission to do, and hopefully at the end of it, we get to go back.
So, if I were to give you any sort of advice, Dart, if your sort of man might take some.
I'll take everything I can get at this point.
You should try to be as much like water as you can. And by that, I just mean adaptable. Because everything here is gonna try to kill you. And I'm really hoping that you can keep my wife alive.
We're gonna do the best we can. Where'd you get this livestock from, by the way?
You don't need to get it. That's the point here, Dart. You are in control of your destiny here. It's just a matter of practice. And if you can give yourself enough time, you can manifest what you want, you know? And he will stop for a second, and he'll just stare at the ground for a little while, and you'll watch as a tripod and a machine gun, like a belt-fed machine gun, appears on top of it. And he'll walk up, he'll
get onto the back of it, and he'll just fire some rounds, and everybody else will hear this loud gunfire just going off into the trees, and he'll do it for a little while, and then he'll snap his fingers, and it will disappear.
Alfred, please tell me you didn't kill him.
No, 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 no. He's fine. He's fine.
I'm fine, Dr. D. Just a demonstration.
We kind of need that one. God knows it was hard enough getting the other one to agree.
Leads me to my second point. Mr. Alfred. I was going to say Dr. D, but that's... Your name's not Dorothy. Dr. G, does that work for you?
Well enough, friend. It's nomenclature isn't the most important right now.
I don't entirely know what these nuns were looking for are doing here, but the guy who sent us was no friend of theirs, so I think he might have...
You don't understand, those nuns, they've been here way longer than I have.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I've been here for, a while now. I was a few other places, but I felt a calling, so I had to make my way. It's funny, the quote-unquote God, you always hear about. There ain't no pearly gates or nothing like that. It's just a scale. You get weighed and find out if you're good or bad. And if you're good, you get a choice. And if you're bad, well... don't so much get one. But I got a choice. So I am here. And those nuns, they did not get no choice. That's for sure.
Well, that certainly leads into what I was thinking. I actually was kind of thinking that they might make the best bait. I think that's what the guy who sent us here wanted for him. Or wanted us to use him for.
I think I should show you the nuns before we get to talking about bait too much.
Is this something everyone should see? Or is this maybe...
They're adults, and I suppose they should make their own decisions about it. But it's not something I would wish upon my worst enemy.
I'll go talk to them and see what they think.
Well, I'm going to continue. And no matter what, we got to still continue kind of the same direction. So my bait will work no matter what. So you come find me. You let me know where we're going. Okay, Dart? Hey, Dart.
Yeah?
If I don't get you to Ithaca, you take care of my wife, eh?
I'm looking out for her first, Dr. G. And I'm gonna try and magically dream summon a cigarette into my hand.
It works. And it's lit. Like, you do not even have to light it. Like, you just have a lit full cigarette in your hand. And when you breathe it in, like you drag on it, it does not go down, but you still get a full drag from it.
And then I look at him and say, I think I'm getting a little bit of the hang in this place.
Good luck, Dart.
We'll need it. And I'll make my way to the back, the rest of the group.
Phantom Meat, what the hell was all that shooting?
Oh, it wasn't nothing too fancy. Dude, look, that's not what's important right now. I asked Dr. G there about the nuns. I had ideas, I guess, and he said that what they're going through isn't something that he would wish on nobody. he was gonna show them to us, but from the sounds of it, it might not be something that you necessarily want to see. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Well, I also didn't want to drown myself today, so what's the harm?
Nothing about any of this makes any sense.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's all a very good point. Elliot, you okay there?
Where's Elliot?
Oh, was Elliot not with us?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Sorry. I thought I just missed him coming. Okay.
Where did you go, Elliot?
He was here.
I am on pursuit of the nuns.
Oh!
Oh!
Are you just hoofing it on foot or what?
Oh my god!
Okay, we'll cut back to you in a little bit.
Hey, where the hell did Elliot go?
What?
He was standing right here. I could have sworn.
Elliot?
Elliot!
You see that there are footprints just leading off towards the northwest.
What the hell is he doing?
I guess we were taking too long.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
Hey, Dr. G?
Yeah, Dart? What do you need?
We're down one person?
Oh, shit. And he'll start rushing around, and like he's immediately going back, and you see he kind of like opens up the kennel and then he like slams it back shut as like a, you know, kind of fuck it move, and he just immediately starts like concentrating, and he closes his eyes, and you can see that dogs just immediately start populating all of the harnesses of these sleds that were at one point just empty. And then he says, all right, come on, let's go. So you immediately all start charging through the woods following these tracks, and these dogs are tireless. Like they, as they're weaving in and out of the trees, you can still hear that after a little while, things are moving in these woods. Like the distraction has only lasted for so long. And eventually Alfred sort of like pulls everything up to a halt. He holds up one hand and you all stop your dogs and you realize the tracks have just ended. They're gone. Like nothing is around them. No other tracks intersect them other than the ones that you've just created. Like Elliot ran out, you know, a couple of miles into the woods and then completely vanished.
Nothing in this place makes any sense.
At this rate, he better hope the Wendigos get to him before I do. That's all I'm gonna say.
Every night you'll hear a croon, a rush. Russian lullaby.
The Devil's Antlers is a production by the Time to Die Podcast Network. Our links, our credits, and other shows are all available at timetodierpg.com. If you like this ukulele music, visit charlottepelgin.com, where you can get her entire original album. She also has many old-timey covers available on her YouTube channel. Our cast was Tim DeMuse, Chris Riley, Aubrey Gray, Eric Pat, and I'm Brian Bridges. You can find our character roles and social media links in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Devil's Antlers.
And a Russian lullaby.
I don't know what it is. I actually have my doubts whether it's actually him. All I know is we were given a task, and to do that task is tantamount in my surmisation of what's going on. Hold on. Is surmization even a fucking word?
Nope.
Nah.
Okay. We'll go with that.
It is when you're fucking crazy.
Is my lead 1950s vernacular scholar. I'll go with Eric on this one.
Where did you go, Elliot?
He was here.
I am on pursuit of the nuns.
Oh!
Oh!
Are you just hoofing it on foot or what?
Oh my god!
Okay, we'll cut back to you in a little bit.
Did you take the sleigh or what?
Once Mads goes to me in a little bit, or Mads, once Tim goes to me in a little bit, we'll find out what he did.
Well, I can't roleplay about anything until you tell me what evidence there is around
did
us that's missing or
with
not
us,
missing.
Or were you? Okay.
He was
okay,
here.
Okay,
he came
okay,
out
okay,
of the
yeah, I was there for a little
a
bit.
Like.
Okay. In that case,
just tell me. I'm assuming the sleigh is still with us then.
And Elliot, we will cut to you. So Elliot, you are wandering through the woods on foot. What's going on?
Yeah. I was just about to text in the chat. Can there be a point, because we're at around 50 minutes or so, can there be a point where the tracks just stop?
Yeah, if you want.
At the same time where Dart is talking to Dr. I forget his name.
Can you
Alfred,
tell me
Dr.
what
Alfred.
You're what you're thinking before we agree to anything?
So my thinking is just like he's been testing with everything else when he's gone into a dream sequence and stuff. I think that at some point he detects that this is sort of an unreality and he can just fly. And I think he wants to get as short of a time as possible between him and the nuns.
Make me intelligence. If you pass, I'll allow it.
So my intelligence roll is a 7 and my intelligence is an 18.
Deal. We're done. Okay.
All right.
So,
yeah, you don't have to go to me at all during this. And
perfect.
All right, cool.
So you immediately all start charging through the woods following these tracks, and these dogs are tireless.
All right, pressing stop on the record.
Brian, I hope you're going to hear me crying into my mic for the last...
Oh, bro, we heard you crying into your mic. Are you kidding me?
That's what this game is for.
It's Sad Simulator.
Sweet, sweet Aubrey tears.
Tim, I'm just going to make you a mug that just says Aubrey's tears.
The game?
Because you, to this day, are the only DM who has ever made me cry.